Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Shake along with us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Beller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And the man who stops the traffic lights, but only when they're green, is Pete Donaldson.
Hello, everyone.
Well, welcome to the Football Ramble, everybody. We're all ready for the show, aren't we, Peter?
I was just kicking around a box of Earl Grey tea.
Thinking you were Ronaldinho.
Just to colour that in a little bit, he was failing to control a box of Earl Grey tea.
It was thrown at me at pace.
Yeah, true.
That will happen as well.
There it is.
You was like them apples.
Yeah, you've landed that on a shelf.
I could do that again, and we won't let you try.
Hey? There's the video sorted. Did anyone film that?
I've never seen such control of a tea bag, if you will. Now then, gentlemen, let's get into the show, because Jurgen Klopp commented that the Kop end was a little quiet at the weekend, and Anatol Karanka also had a pop at the Borough fans as well. A sort of a pop, if you know what I mean.
He said they weren't good enough, and they said, oh, they should. It's the same way they were a year ago when I joined.
What's he hoping to achieve?
Get them angry.
Yeah,
rile them up.
Strange.
And they'll like apologise to him at the start of the next home game in unison.
Yeah. Well, if you were given the task of improving the atmosphere at a Premier League ground or grounds in general, what would you come up with, Jim?
I would have this in every ground. Mm. And you know, some music venues have those like noise limiters where if the band go above a certain volume, it cuts the power. Mm. I would employ a similar system where if a certain sort of level of decibels was reached, fireworks would shoot out of the goalposts.
Nice.
Obviously, every time you scored, obviously that would happen.
Yeah.
So it makes scoring a goal even better. So you have a long range screamer and then bang, fireworks as well.
That'd
and
be
like
lovely.
A scuffed rubbish goal. Yeah. It would still happen and that would be hilarious.
What about the ball changing? This is not mine, but this is just reminding me. What about the ball changing colour? So like it's a different colour depending on how good the atmosphere is. So if it's really loud, the ball's like red. And if it's like really quiet, it's like grey. Like,
yeah, but knowing English football crowds, they would just be quiet and go, eh, look at the ball.
Look at the rubbish ball.
Oh, that's their problem.
Yeah. But that's their decision.
Penalty saves as well. Might put the keeper off a little bit, like generally throughout the game, knowing that fireworks could go off at any time.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'd learn to live with that.
I think they've got a decibel counter or something of that ilk at the Georgia Dome where the Atlanta Falcons play. They played at the weekend. They just won to go. They're going to be at the Super Bowl. And they're well known for having a very, very noisy stadium. I think they might have the record in the US for the loudest fans. Like quite a lot of decibels. Mm. I mean, more than one or two decibels, guys.
Right, okay.
I think they might have like a decibel counter, so similar, but I don't think they have any fireworks coming out the post.
Didn't
sadly.
They do a test here and it was Stoke City?
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably just, just a window, wasn't it?
That rings
just
a bell. Wind. That rings Palace a decibel.
Palace are loud as well, aren't they?
Are they?
Yes. Well, maybe not quite of late, but they're just... Every time anyone I know goes to the Britannia, whatever it's called now, the Stoke City Stadium.
Yeah, Britannia.
It's called the Bet365 Stadium now, I think.
Oh, of course it is, yeah.
Thank you, Overlodge.
Everyone says to me, oh, so windy. It's just so windy.
So windy.
It could be a wind factor.
It could be people who have to wash the towels for their long throw-ins screaming, oh, not another one! Where's some more towels?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Going back to the Roy Delap era.
Yeah.
It's nice to hear.
That's nice. Right, yeah. Roy Delap dynasty, I'd go as far as that. Luke, what have you got for the answer?
Yeah, it's called the Roy Delap Stadium now, I think. I would go for, have you guys seen... It's really big in the US, but it's also becoming quite big here, and Chris Kamara and Ben Shepherd do it. Ninja Warrior UK.
Yes.
It's terrible TV. Allow me to fill you in. Mm. It's terrible TV. It's not Saturday Tea Time TV, but it's compelling to watch. Mm-hmm. It's essentially
like Wipeout, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a more friendly, army assault course thing.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
In the US, they have people who train for it. It's like a proper competitive thing.
Mm-hmm. Here in Britain, they make people dress like Lara Croft and we just make a mockery of it.
Yeah,
and then there's some people who actually have a crack at it, and they're pretty good.
Well, allow me to tell you my idea then. Before, essentially, you've got players who train all week, and then they have a squad of, say, 25, I think it is, in the Premier League, whatever it is. You can only have 17 or 18 or something on the matchday squad. Those players who aren't making the matchday squad, they have to play against the away team in a competition of Ninja Warrior on the pitch before the game, just to show their physical, because they're going to be physical specimens, right? They're going to be very, very impressive athletes anyway, so they're probably going to get quite far, be quite good.
And they're quite competitive, aren't they?
Quite.
Yeah. And they'll get knackered out for the main game.
They're not in the squad, Marcus.
Sorry.
Don't worry,
it's a tenor's argument.
Yeah. No problem there, because they're not in the squad. So, and then they have almost like a supplementary, sort of secondary tournament of Ninja Warrior UK among players who aren't part of the matchday squad, and then there's a little prize for that at the end of the season.
So maybe like a little gladiators where you had a run when people had those big sticks. You know, those kind of spongy sticks that the gladiators used to attack people with.
The thing is, you get to a game early these days. Right? You get to a game early because you're travelling away or you muck up your transport, you get a bit early. Not something any of you here will be familiar with. Jim's very punctual, so maybe Jim does.
Get a load of that.
You get there 45 minutes early. What do you see? You see nothing. You see a bunch of players coming on occasionally and warming up. You see the goalkeeping coach pinging a cross into the goalkeeper as a warm-up. You sometimes see an extra goal to the side of the goalpost. Mm-hmm.
Nothing about ninjas.
No, exactly. There's not enough ninja warrior going on.
You see Wayne Rooney trying to deflect a header away from Graham Lasseau.
Yeah.
Thus saving embarrassment for the young Jerseyan.
We'll not have any bad words about Wayne Rooney this week.
No. It's the testimonial show.
Yeah. Anyway, Ninja Warrior UK.
Right.
Lovely.
There it is. That's going to get
them
going.
A bit longer than I expected, so sorry about that.
That's fine. Peter.
I would probably give each fan a little monitor, you know, like a lead singer would have. And then you can see how much you're actually... it would reduce on people just whinging about referees and stuff. Because if you have that back at you, you're like, oh, it's such an annoying voice. I'm just whinging about the referee or whinging about...
Earpiece?
But like a monitor kind of like at your feet. PA systems that you have, the people that rock stars put their foot on to get a bit more... get a bit more angle on the crowd.
Feedback, right? If they all feed back at once, it's a nightmare.
Well, that's the thing. I would add in individual glass cubes for each supporter.
That's going to fucking... The atmosphere would be brilliant then.
Yeah, exactly. Because it reflects, isn't it? Presumably. It's like, it's like Abbey Road.
How would you improve the atmosphere at a football game? Put people in a vacuum tank.
No. It wouldn't have the roof on the glass thing. Yeah, it would just reflect the noise up.
I would make the whole experience much more individual than it perhaps already is.
Yeah, exactly.
It would reflect the noise.
We're constantly told that it's an individual spot.
Not for the first time this season. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Pete's answer is.
It's all about sound refraction.
Okay.
Aren't
you just pumping the sound up into the sky rather than down to the players?
Well, most of them are roofed now, so it would come back down again, wouldn't it? All right, more glass on the roof then. Yeah. Glass roofs.
There you go. That's actually a serious answer, right?
Right, okay. That's an acoustic...
Sorry, none of them are roofed.
What?
None of them have roofs.
What?
Literally none.
What do you mean?
No Premier League stadiums have got a roof.
Oh, no, all for the supporters they do. If they're pointing straight up, it's going to hit the roof, isn't it?
All right.
I know you don't visit football grounds very often.
You sound like you're going to hit the roof every minute. Okay, so you basically think that all Premier League stadiums should have a roof on, yeah?
They're not acoustically decent.
You think roofs on stadiums?
Roofs on stadium and a monopole person.
The pattern that tends to happen with the opening question, like more often than not, is we do our answers, Pete does his, no one understands it, he then gets really annoyed, and then we go to you anyway.
All right, well, I would...
So Pete's like essentially... like that side of the desk is like Pete's in an old people's home.
glass tanks.
Back in my day, roofs. Yeah.
Oh, the nurse is stealing my money.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I would have... you know, like sometimes before in the WWE, you have, say, like the two managers or two wrestlers come out and they slag each other off for a bit and people seem to enjoy that.
Yeah.
I would have the chairman of both clubs come out beforehand, stand in the centre circle and have microphones and then just slag each other off.
A little battle.
You've got no money, your club. Ah, but you bought the title. And it would get it going. And I think the fans would be... I think that would G everybody up.
Mm, okay.
Or, to get a better atmosphere in the Emirates, I would sign... a proven goal scorer.
Spend some of that rainy day fund.
More traditional, yeah. Sign it for every listener.
Without a doubt, cheering is what you want from the home crowd at a football match. Luke's got the points with his Ninja Warrior.
Well, listen, I dedicate the points to Chris Kamara and Ben Shepherd, the doyens of Saturday tea time period.
And all you ninjas out there.
Surely the...
It's a weird collection of people, though, isn't it? It's like Ben Shepherd, that lady from the Saturdays, who I don't know her name, and Kamara.
Yeah. Chris Kamara and Ben Shepherd are sure to inherit Anton Dexter's Saturday Tea Time crown.
There was a man who was very muscular doing it, and Chris Kamara sort of undid his shirt to show his body off, forgetting, of course, that Chris Kamara's got quite a good body for a 50-odd-year-old man.
So Ben Shepherd's quite ripped as well.
Is he?
By the way, I don't want this to be misconstrued.
Good combo.
Having a pop at those two, I actually quite like them.
No, I don't like Ben Shepherd because when they play in that annual football match...
He takes it too seriously,
and he actually goes out and damages players.
Like Jonathan Wilkes.
Yeah.
Or fair Boris enough. Johnson that time.
Jonathan Wilkes, the footballer that we never knew.
Exactly.
That's all he does now, isn't it? It seems. Like, he's famous for being a celebrity
charitable.
Who just does Soccer Aid.
Yeah.
Well, he organises it, doesn't he? He's kind of at the head of the thing.
My snooty.
No, but to be fair to Jim, he needs to organise it.
And to be fair, and to be fair to the listeners, we've already spent way too much time on Jonathan Wilkes.
Indeed, yeah. We must go to the Premier League straight away. Manchester City 2, Spurs 2, it was a beefy one. Jim,
really was.
You and I were worried about Yaya Toure.
We were.
He played central in that midfield, defending, you know, in front of the back four, and they managed to avoid defeat.
Yeah, it was he was a lot more disciplined and discipline's the wrong word, but he worked harder than you fear he might after the Everton game. He put a decent shift in, and that's the thing with him, isn't it? Sometimes you know he doesn't turn up. more often than not he does, but it's those maddening games like the Everton one where it's like, what is he doing there? Why has he decided to not try in this game? Well, but he was great against Spurs.
Well, but it was the fact that City just went at Spurs.
They should have won that game.
I mean, that's really how they controlled things first half.
But that's how 100%,
well, that's how attacking Manchester City were. They went at Spurs. They tried to sort of press them back. It was quite fascinating to see two high defensive lines go at each other, try and compress the pitch. But Diarra is the defensive midfielder. In front of him, he had Silva and De Bruyne, who were playing a little bit deeper than the normal, and then in front of them, Aguero, Sterling, and Sane. Very attacking.
Yeah.
It sort of and it nearly paid off. It should have paid off,
I think. It freed up De Bruyne, who I thought was probably the standout player for Man City on the day.
De Bruyne and Sane.
And they really pushed hard and pressed from the front and put Spurs under a lot of pressure. And I think at half time, Spurs would have been, I mean, Pochettino would have been delighted to come away 0-0 because they were completely dominating.
Oh my goodness.
This is why it's so hard to do. I mean, I'm not doing like a woe is me sort of sound the violin or something, but it is sometimes so hard to do this show on like a Thursday and a Monday. You try and predict what's going to happen. You try and look at the trends and how teams are playing. For Man City, there was absolutely nothing to suggest that Man City could perform in that way under Guardiola currently.
Yeah.
Against probably at the time the league's most informed side.
Quite a brave thing to do, really.
I think it was, and I think it paid off for them. But that shows you really the quality of this Spurs outfit, as far as that. They don't know when they're beaten, and even though they know they've got out of jail with a draw there, they never gave up.
They
were pressing all the time. Whenever Man City player got the ball, certainly in the second half, there was like two or three players around him. They really did force the issue.
And they also had a difficult time of it in terms of the way they had to change their shape, and they lost Alderweireld, and they still come away from that with a draw, which is a massive point game for them.
Some rare drops from both goalkeepers.
Yeah,
from both goalkeepers, guys. Both goalkeepers.
So, yeah, I think in the first half, Spurs, they seemed a little bit, not rattled, but they didn't really know how to get out of City's press, did they? And you saw Pochettino ran down the tunnel at half-time, because obviously he wanted to get his ideas across very quickly, and it worked.
This is how you press. Well, fire up the PowerPoint.
They went 2-0 down very quickly, but, like, again, as you say, that fight back, they didn't drop their heads, they just fought back. It's a ridiculous point for them to have got, really. And, I mean, the Sterling situation as well, that's just... It's a penalty all day, isn't it?
Well, with Kyle Walker, obviously. Yeah.
Well, the thing was, the problem with that is that he was offside, and that wasn't given. If you look at the replay, he's actually offside. Mm. The assistant referee didn't give it. I'm not saying it wasn't a penalty, because obviously the play continues, as we'll talk about probably when we talk about the Arsenal game later. But because the play continues, but he was offside. It was a definite penalty.
Well, it was that one when do you remember? Because I've suddenly just been reminded of a slightly similar sort of thing where England were playing Ukraine in Euro 2012, and John Terry cleared the ball off the line, and the ball went over the line. Everyone was going mental, going, well, that was over the line. That should have stood.
Yeah.
But actually, the guy was in an offside position.
Yeah.
So if, by your own argument...
you want the letter of law applied.
Exactly. Yeah. Then none of that would have happened. Yeah.
But the
thing
is, though, I mean, you know, Sterling being called offside... Uh-huh. Would still have benefited City because Spurs went down the other end and scored, didn't they? So
in hindsight, absolutely.
On the Lloris thing, it was some day for him to have his worst performance of the season. You know, it's very, very, very difficult for him. Obviously, he was under a lot of pressure and stuff. But generally, he's very, very good. And I don't think. And a couple of Spurs players I've seen come out and say that, you know, we win and lose together. Obviously, they didn't lose, but we win and lose together, and it's not Hugo's fault and all this other stuff, because he's been amazing and he's one of the better keepers in the Premier League, if not the best. But it was just such a shame that, because the reason I bring that up is because if you look at the extent to which Man City dominated that game, right, it's actually come down to two goalkeeping errors that they've even scored.
That's right.
Yeah. If Lloris has had a textbook game, not even an outstanding game, a textbook game, they would have kept a clean sheet, which is absolutely incredible given the tenor of the game.
Well, it is, and Guardiola blamed missed chances, not the referee, for not winning, because if you think about the way the first half went, I mean, Spurs, as you said, Jim, you know, they couldn't get out of it and were making sloppy passes, and the back three wasn't really working for them, and he changed it up. And City should have gone ahead in that first half. And then the first goal wasn't necessarily gifted, because actually it was a great ball in that caused Lloris to come out, and Sané...
It was a bit of hesitancy from the centre-back, wasn't there, as well?
Yeah, but those balls in behind actually were pretty decent, and some of those through balls, because when you're playing a high press like that, then there was obviously space. And teams like Manchester City, they do have pace. But,
do you think there was a suspicion of a handball with Sané there? Was it too close to him?
Well, it did come off his arm,
But it's too close to him, do you think, for it to be good? It's impossible to ask a referee to see that, really.
Yeah, and he does gain an advantage from it, doesn't it? But it's a really tough one, that. Mm.
Well, Spurs looked better when when Dier went back into centre-back position. Yeah. And actually, when Alderweireld came off, Wanyama slotted in really well.
I thought, you know what? I think the standout players in that game, I've already mentioned De Bruyne, I thought was City's best player. But Wanyama was magnificent. He was everywhere, putting fires out all over the place. And I actually thought Kolarov played very well.
Kolarov did.
Out of position and did very well.
And Sun coming on.
Yeah.
That was a lovely tactical switch up from Pochettino.
How did he not get a yellow card for doing that dink over the keeper when he was offside? Like,
yeah, I know
it. It was about 5 to 6 seconds after he'd blown the whistle.
He was saying he couldn't hear it, wasn't he, because it was too loud. But one of the things I find interesting, you're absolutely right, Pete, and I think under the letter of the law, he would have been booked for that. For me, I think that law is so antiquated, it's unbelievable. Yeah. There are so many ball boys with balls around. I believe, and I'm happy to be corrected, but I believe the motivation for that rule or law
is it's
a delay of play.
Okay, right.
But actually, the ball boys provide so many balls so quickly,
that
it doesn't actually make any difference.
No, it's quicker. If you booted the ball into the crowd, it would be back on the field quicker than if you passed it, I think.
Do you remember Van Persie getting sent off for Arsenal in the Champions League?
Against Barcelona. It was very, very weird. Because, again, he said he didn't hear the whistle, which is, again, a reasonable concern, because that happens quite a lot.
I was of that opinion then, and I'm still of that opinion now. I don't know why they don't change that.
It is strange, but good news, ball boy fans, where there will be more ball boy chat a little bit later on.
Yeah. Danny Rose made one of the tackles of the season.
Fantastic, wasn't it? Yeah. Absolutely.
The first time
glorious.
We watched it, though, it was like, oh, dear. Great decision from the referee, though. I mean, they've been hauled over the course so many times.
The reason I was so impressed by it was, without getting too beardy about it, was like it was a really, really poor technique in terms of a tackle. He went around the wrong side in the penalty era and hooked his foot around.
Did a U-y.
Yeah, exactly. if pulled a U in the penalty era. If a coach was coaching a young player to do that, they would never say tackle like that, especially not on the penalty area. So obviously it looks amazing because it was pulled. It came off. You know? Yeah.
Going back to that Sun dink, just quickly. Does that count as another shot Bravo didn't save?
He didn't save any again, did he?
No, he didn't.
No,
right.
I mean, it was one shot on target, one goal, wasn't it?
Do you reckon that's why City were so good? Right. If they shoot, it's a goal.
It's like in
hockey when they take the keeper off. So just don't let them have the ball.
Yeah, that's it. To be fair, in Bravo's defence, even Guardiola said he could have done nothing with the two goals. Yeah, yeah. And then if there are no other shots on goal, that is slightly misleading.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, you can read whatever you want from statistics.
You know, but he's got to save something soon.
I saw a guy tweet, I might have mentioned it actually, tweet about Wayne Rooney coming off the bench in a game a couple of weeks ago. He was awful. And this guy, I presume, hadn't watched the game, but was one of these stats guys. I genuinely can't remember his name. And he just posted up, and like, it was like an automated tweet thing, all the things Rooney had done, like key passes, tackles, passes, and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, and at the bottom he put, influential move by Mourinho or whatever. And everyone was piling in going, did you actually watch it? He was dreadful. So I think he was dreadful. Mm. So I think you can read what you want into that sort of stuff.
You can do. But yeah, a good point for Spurs nonetheless, although 2 points dropped perhaps.
In the circumstances, I think Spurs have got to be delighted.
And so is Harry Winks coming on and playing a good role.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, Winksy.
It was such a strange run from City in the first half in particular. I said this last week, and I'll say it again, they do remind me of Arsenal sometimes, the way they seem to take an extra touch on too many things.
Sterling's very guilty of that.
Yeah, just don't really sort of make the best of the chances that they create because they sort of slightly overplay it. And I wonder, Barcelona, when Guardiola was there, people always said it was like Arsenal times a billion, and it is a similar style of play, just far, far better and more effective. And I wonder if that sort of style just doesn't translate to the Premier League because there are too many teams you can't bully.
But do you think, Jimmy, even though they've, in that game, on that game's evidence, they've eradicated maybe the defensive errors that John Stones was guilty of more previously, but they still don't look like confident, do they?
No, they really don't. It's fascinating.
Yeah, you think he would have installed a bit more confidence in them than that?
The fact that we're saying that we're surprised that they went out with such an attacking mindset is insane. If the first 10 games of the season where they were smashing everyone, you wouldn't think we'd be talking like this, would you?
No, certainly wouldn't.
But I think on the... Sorry, Marcus, I was just going to say, I think on the Touré thing, part of the reason he I don't know if saying he got away with it is harsh on him, but part of the reason he looked better is... in my view, purely because the front five players just pushed and worked so hard that Spurs couldn't get any sort of rhythm going. They couldn't get the ball out of their own territory, and I don't think Touré needed to be as big a part of that as a traditional as someone like Victor Wanyama sometimes is. Mm-hmm. He's all over the place, and Touré wasn't like that.
Yeah, well, Manchester City sort of did what teams have done against them this season so far, sort of pressing and so on and so forth. But we move on to Liverpool Swansea because that was another great game on the weekend.
Been a great weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, perhaps the outstanding result of the weekend. Kolarov, as we say, felt Anfield was a little bit too quiet for his liking. But when you concede goals like that, you can sort of understand. I mean, yeah. Llorente was fantastic, and Sigurdsson obviously got the winner. But there was something that you said last week, Luke, when we talked about, is it Trent Alexander? Trent Alexander-Arnold, the right-back, and you said, you know, he wasn't too sure about Nathaniel Klein. And actually, Klein didn't look too sharp.
No, he's come back from injury, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I mean, I just thought, with this game, I thought that, first of all, I was really pleased for Paul Clement. I think, you know, it's a great scout for him. It would give him, as a manager, a lot of confidence and give his team a lot of confidence as well. I just think we talked about this a little bit in the past, that Liverpool struggling badly for goals and for fluency and for getting all their players together. I think in the penalty era, particularly, their defending was really, really nervous and not at all assertive. And I think when Matip comes back in for Clavan, that'll improve. But Llorente is a penalty. Whatever you think of him now in terms of his form and the level of career he's at, he's a penalty box forward. Mm-hmm. He's strong in there. You know, it's almost like Andy Carroll. We saw Andy Carroll this weekend going back to basics and powering in a header and making a textbook forward run to follow up a parry, right? Llorente, to me, is that type of forward.
Yeah.
And he will dominate you if you're not confident, if you're not assertive. And that's just what Liverpool were guilty of. Mm. And the thing I was most impressed with from Swansea was just Liverpool pegged them back, and Swansea still found something extra to win the game. And away from home, that's such a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, it's that sloppy defending, though, as you say. And I'm surprised that Clavin didn't come off, because he got booked, didn't he? And was sort of walking a bit of a tightrope.
I don't know who else they've really got.
Well, Matip was on the bench.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He was clear to play.
He was eligible again. Yeah. I didn't realise he was eligible again.
Yeah,
okay,
so
right.
Presumably he started Clavin because he figured he had a bit more preparation for the game. But, you know, that booking seemed to really rock his confidence. And obviously he was at fault for the third goal as well. So, I mean, at that point, I guess it's you could maybe going to shatter his confidence if you do that. Perhaps that's the thinking. But it seemed odd that Klopp didn't put his, you know, strongest team out.
The thing is, as soon as you've started with Clavin and you've got that centre-back pairing that you want, I don't think any... I can't really think of too many examples. Managers don't want to change the centre-back pairing during the game.
Matip's on his way back, of course.
Yeah.
Peter, you're a fan of Newcastle United, as everybody knows.
What?
And so you're used to supporting a team with a
gappy...
with a gappy defence. Do you worry for Liverpool? Because there are gaps there in that defence, as it was alluding to. And conceding three at home to Swansea...
I just think they historically have always been unlucky with injuries, as have Arsenal to more of an extent. But I think this time round, I think they've got unlucky with the players that they've lost in really key positions. And I think is he going to put his hand in his pocket and spend some more money? I don't know. Like in January,
yeah.
It'd be a good idea, I think, to fortify some rather thin squad depth. I think
true.
Fortify it.
Yes. I like that. It's a good word. It's a strong word. I mean, Liverpool were on the 12-month unbeaten home record in the league before this one. That is why it's quite an outstanding result. Swansea had 26% possession, but registered more shots on target.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And actually, if this is a freak performance, like we know that can
nobody
happen.
Saw this coming. To be fair,
nobody saw this coming. Or did Paul Clement see it coming?
we talked about it on Thursday. You're absolutely right, Pete. We talked about it on Thursday.
Well,
I said on the show on Thursday, I think the signings he's made have been good. I think Martin Olsen is a good, experienced. Premier League operator, and he had a good game. Mm. And Tom Carroll's tough, and he looks and he looks after the ball.
Yeah,
and Tom Carroll was very good in that game. That I still said though, I don't think they're going to win it. I can't see how they win that game.
Yeah.
But
it's Liverpool losing the game around the Swansea winning it to a certain extent.
So I think so. But I just to pick up a little bit more on what Pete said, I think he's right. Not only do they have players missing, they have players missing at key times, and they can't get them all back together.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if it's not injury, even if it's something like Mane going off to the Africa Cup of Nations, and he's having a good tournament because he's a good player, that affects them.
Mm.
It really does. And as soon as they stop scoring goals and the way they play, their goals dry up and they concede. You can see three goals at home in the Premier League, you're going to lose the game.
And the way they play is quite frantic and full on. And if there's no end product, I think people start to lose their positional sense a little bit more than any other team, because they're all over the pitch and they're just swarming.
Yeah.
But if there's no end product and they're not seeing a return from it, I think it's kind of like, oh God, what do we do?
That's right, it's efficiency of possession, right? Because without getting too beardy about it, again, Liverpool had 74% possession. Swansea were able to convert 26% possession into three goals.
Yeah.
So
it's
about efficiency of possession.
Two things picking up on what you said there, Luca. With the missing Mane, they are. If you look at the stats with and without, it's quite startling.
He stretches defences.
The second point I'm going to have to disagree, because you said if you can see three goals at home in the Premier League, going to lose the game. Well, if Swansea well know, beating Crystal Palace 5-4.
Okay, well, it's like me saying, you know, comets don't often appear in the sky. Yeah. Obviously they do, but not very often. Do you know what I mean?
All right.
Generally speaking, if you can see three goals, you're probably going to lose.
I take the point.
Michael Owen, Robbie Savage and Alan Shearer.
They're too old, mate. They can't come back.
All said Firmino.
Okay, yeah.
This week. Right. Stop it.
People add syllables into players' names all the time. I'm sure we probably do.
I was about to say, I'm not. I'm staying well out of that.
Spurs not touching that with a barge pole.
No. Paul Clement had a good result. That's all I'm saying.
He didn't seem to notice, though, did he? I love his sort of lack of reaction to absolutely anything
like
going
that.
On around him.
I like
him.
That. Well, yeah, of course we won at Anfield for the first time ever. I'm Paul Clement, baby!
It's almost like he couldn't see it happening.
I think. Do you know what I think? I think, and this is not half the time, and this is not me trying to give our show like credit, but I think most of us, if not all of us in this room, have suspected that Paul Clement's a good coach.
Yeah.
Because we defended him against. We defended him when he was at Derby.
Yeah.
And we've said, talked about his experience and all the players he's worked with and work under Ancelotti and would have sort of learnt an incredible amount. I genuinely am very pleased for him that he's got one of those like showpiece results to hang his hat on.
Aye.
So all the sort of mindless pundits that aren't in this room, of which there are many. Yeah. There's quite a few inside the room as well. Uh-huh. Can stop just berating him for no reason. Mm. Just judge him on his results. He's had a difficult start, but they've shown positive signs, and they've now got a real, like I say, like showpiece result to get something going, and hopefully they will.
The problem is, though, British managers don't get a chance.
They will have filled the away stand. It's not a long journey to Liverpool, is it? So just enjoy it, guys.
It's like a glorified home game for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They should append that to their home record,
I expected them to win.
Did you? Well, from one English manager to another, Sam Allardyce, it was a better performance for Palace, but they still lost the game against Everton. And he said, if Palace manage to stay up, it'll go into the last 2 weeks of the season, if they're lucky.
Well, they've got a tough run.
He knows in his environment.
He's put them down.
I just wondered if the players hear that. That's not really.
But it's repeated, though, isn't it? That's been his sort of MO the whole time. Just
is he laying the
talk about how terrible they
is
are?
Is he laying the foundations of, oh, if we go down, it wasn't.
It's not my fault.
It wasn't my fault.
Doing a Shearer.
Oh, seeing wings.
Oof.
Do you know, like, sometimes we talk, obviously, we have to talk about lots of different clubs on this show, and it's impossible for us to know everything about every club, right? So sometimes we skip over stuff. And so what I thought I'd do this week is.
Allardyce is in charge of Palace, yeah?
Yeah. And when you say Palace.
Do you mean the Palace of Football and is Wembley? Yeah.
It's not Buckingham Palace.
No, okay.
Yeah. They're still semi-professional.
Okay. Shall I pick this up after the show?
Yeah, go on. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, so I tweeted out asking Palace fans what they thought the problem was, because it seems to me that they were not really in a conversation too much about being relegated, and then Pardew had this slide, and over the last year or so it's been difficult.
Mm.
And they said, and a lot of them said, that the players aren't fit enough. The players don't look fit enough.
That's interesting.
Right? So I did a little bit of research. I looked into their last few games, last four or five games.
So you gave them all the race.
Yeah, so I went down to the training ground. I said, I swam 70 lengths this morning. What have you got done? No. And so I looked at when they've conceded goals. And if you look, it's a really interesting pattern.
That's right.
They concede goals at the end of halves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Against Everton, they conceded that goal against Coleman, which admittedly was an unfortunate goal, in the 87th minute. Mm-hmm. They conceded in the 79th and the 86th against West Ham. They conceded in the 42nd and the 88th against Swansea. The 43rd against Chelsea. Injury time in the first half against Man United, and in the last minute against Man United.
Yeah.
Not fit enough.
It's crazy. And just
who would have thought a Pardew side wouldn't be fit enough?
Yeah, well,
you nodding along to that?
Yeah. I'm just constantly nodding. Whenever somebody said Pardew, yeah, I agree. Whatever, whatever derisory opinion you've got.
But it's stranger, because normally... Because
I'm not on my guard anymore, it's nice.
Because Pardew loves the fitties, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But just briefly going back to Paul Clement, he talked about his team only giving a 35-minute performance against Arsenal, where actually they played okay in that period, and then obviously that was not nearly good enough because they were hammered. And he said we gave a 90-minute performance at Anfield. And it's true. Often with smaller with weaker teams, if they are backs against the walls, they're having to defend a lot. It takes it out of you, you know, not just physically, but almost like mentally is the word I'm looking for. And they were so close against Everton. Now, Schlupp going off the pitch and all
strange.
That sort of business didn't help, and Davis found the gap, you know. But it is an interesting point, Luke, you say. Mm.
It's also an interesting contrast, isn't it, when you look at what Paul Clement has said after the game. Like, even though they've got hammered 4-0 by Arsenal, I'm saying that we gave a 35-minute performance. It's like, it offers a solution, doesn't it? You know what I mean? In a sense, it's a type of constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Whereas Allardyce is just going, we are so shit. we are awful.
Yeah.
We'll be lucky to get out of here alive. Imagine if you're
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Imagine, if you're in the theatre of war.
Yeah.
Right? And your general comes in. Right, okay.
You're dead.
You're even deader. Oh, dear.
You're practically a ghost on a ghost, mate. Ghost squared.
You've been killed twice. What are you doing here? We talked about Palace being sort of, well, I'll tell you what, to do the expanded story, I said Palace don't score enough goals. Everyone told me they did. I looked up and they did. But they don't now. They just stopped scoring.
Nostradamus.
They scored two in their last the last six Premier League games, I was just ahead of my time, Jim. That's what I was, ahead of my time.
And that's cursing people now rather than making
predictions. Right? Yeah. I don't even know my own power. It's worrying.
Mm. It's a bit annoying, though, for someone who predicts the future to be ahead of his time.
I know.
Counterproductive, you say.
I can't predict the future.
Have a go.
Unless it involves Stuart Pearce.
Is he going to get the England under 20 moment job? That's what I want to know.
You don't want to know.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't. Palace have got fixtures coming up against sides that they can take points off, Sunderland and Middlesbrough included there.
But they have to, because they've got such a hard run.
They really do. But a little word on Everton before we go to a quick break. Another win for them, and Barkley looks a bit sharper. And going on the fitness thing, Koeman has talked about his players were only 70% fit at the start of the season. And he's got his regime, his fitness regime in there. And people are suggesting Everton are now coming into their own a little bit more. And OK, they needed to work for that goal, and they were perhaps fortunate Schlupp was out of position, but they won the game.
There was nothing contravening the laws of the game with that Schlupp thing. It was unfortunate, but I mean, the referee doesn't have to stop the game unless he thinks a player is seriously injured or hurt or had a head injury or something like that. And so there was, and Schlupp sort of rolled off the pitch, rolled back on it. Yeah. The referee had no obligation to stop the game.
No.
It was unfortunate, and they're unlucky, and that to happen so late in the game after they battled so hard, they have my sympathy, but that's not an excuse for why they lost the game.
Yeah, well, Alan Rice afterwards said, didn't he, the referee's got to make a decision about that within the game. It's like, well, he has.
Yeah, he did.
It's fine.
One thing I would say, though, is one thing that is potentially difficult for Everton fans to accept is the fact that Coleman was offside for that goal, and the assistant referee didn't give it. So that's a reason why they shouldn't have conceded it, but the Jeffrey Schlupp one isn't.
Mm. There we are. More Premier League chat after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble.
What?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's still the Football Ramble. It's time for some emails with that man, Pete Donaldson.
I always forget we do emails quite early. I've got them here, though. I'm ready.
Would you prefer to be called PD for the emails, or Donny, or what?
Knock yourself out. I think there's been some kind of coalition of you guys calling me like Donny. I thought there's been a little meeting without me, and they said, let's try and get under Peter's skin. But guys, I'm in my 30s now. I don't care.
To be fair,
Peter,
you hate you hate meetings. You'd never come to meetings.
Peter, no, I hate
Peter,
meetings.
Yeah. It happened to me with all this Spelsy nonsense.
Let's talk more rock.
And it's happening with you, with Donny, all right?
Yeah. We'll move on to somewhere
else. When we get to Morsey. Right, go on. Give us some emails, you saucy bugger.
Speaking of emails, actually, you know that when you log into the short email account, and, you know, read the emails and stuff, like we all do.
You didn't see that stuff, did you?
Well, what I was saying is that Google caches all of your internet searches when you're logged in to...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I know. I've had a little look.
Uh-huh.
Turns out we're all really boring.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank goodness
that's
for
good
that.
Tonight.
Jim just watches stand-ups on the internet. I presume it's Jim. Might just
no,
be me.
I actually genuinely don't do that. That's, okay. That's your own history.
No, maybe it's me then.
I think it's your own history that you're seeing, and you're just so intoxicated half the time.
Some of the searches are so boring. I was really surprised to not see more of my filth up there.
Right. Well, let's see what the listeners are saying.
All right.
A non-traditional email section.
Donaldson's WikiLeaks. I've downloaded the file. I will be releasing them to WikiLeaks to see if anyone's interested.
People on the way to work thinking, I wonder if my email's been read out. Oh, they're not doing emails in the emails.
Can I be called Dononymous?
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Petey Leaks.
Yeah. Let's get on that one.
Wiki Pete.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, right. I hope you're interned for 35 years.
I'd happily hang out at the Venezuelan embassy. Nice part of town.
It's actually the Ecuadorians.
Oh, it's Ecuadorian. Yeah. Well, I could have the Venezuelans.
I was about to say,
room for two of them.
There's no room in the Ecuadorian one. This is very much taken. Yeah.
Venezuela. No. Ross Anderson says, my highlight of the week was Freiburg at goalkeeper Lucas Radicki's sending off in the second minute of their Bundesliga game against Red Bull Leipzig. One of the opposing attackers played a massively overhit past an onrushing teammate with nobody around him and with just 10 yards outside the box. Radicki slides down and blocks the ball blatantly with his hand. Just in case the referee somehow did not spot his first hand ball, he then picks the ball up, turns around and boots the ball into the crowd. See ya. Mark in Notley Hills, Tasmania, Australia. Hello. Ooh. Mark. We get a lot of Australian emails. Thank you very much, guys. Hi, Ramble lads. In September, my wife and I had a baby boy named Max. Being a new parent, one thing that I learned early on is that when I'm changing Max's nappy, he might fart or poop or wee during the process, soiling a fresh nappy and all the surrounding area. Not at all an enjoyable experience. So
thanks.
This.
See you later.
Yeah. Cheers, pal.
Just warning us all for fatherhood. So these days, often when I think he's done, I reel out the big question of, any more for any more? Like what Marcus does.
Yeah.
While having a quiet laugh. Shits and giggles, literally. Thank you, Mark.
Pete, that's if anything, that's a ringing endorsement for your decision to be an absent father to all your children.
I think so. Just let him get on with it. Yeah. You don't want me messing that up. I'm not very good with like little stickers and nappies. All right, says
Connor.
Not very
good with stickers, Marcus.
Not very good with stickers.
Pete can't be a dad. He's not very good with stickers.
Yeah, my Panini record is so bad.
Panini
guys.
Game is
yeah.
weak.
Yeah.
So therefore, you can't.
Damn right.
Okay.
Connor. Says, all right, last week you were asking what the highest level is that the listener plays at.
Yes, come on.
Here we go.
I play futsal for Durham in the National League North.
Doesn't count.
Why doesn't
How
it count?
How has that made it in? Is that the best
what
one?
Do you mean?
No, come on, it's a place to start.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm with Lukey.
Don't build your house on sand.
Jim, to be fair, one thing I would say is, Connor's in my den, you started it, so I'm
right,
sure you
okay.
finished it.
Uh-huh.
If I wanted to know about futsal players, I'd have asked
yeah,
a
right. Okay, right. Okay.
Another futsal ramble.
Top of the... See, if you register that, you're in trouble. Top of the structure. We're a trademark. Top of the structure is the Super League North and South. Then it is the National League North, South and Midlands. I also play, though, for the England police team and maybe representing the
Hang
great
on.
British police team in the near future.
England police team?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's actually marginally more impressive.
Right.
Is he giving the information?
All right, Daddy. Daddy Goldbucks.
Are they going to play an international tournament where they could play Police Machine of Nigeria?
Possibly, I don't know. He says, I have no doubt you will have listeners playing higher than that anyway.
Pete, you have to forgive me, but I'm sat at the same table as a man who used to play for Leatherhead Reserves, mate. So
yeah,
I'm
point,
a little bit less impressed.
Good point.
Guilty.
But did he say what position he played in?
No, he doesn't.
Oh, give us some more info. Let us visualise it.
This is lovely. Charlie Hart. I think this should really go on the highlights of the week. But have you got the one about the Portsmouth player?
Charlie Hart.
Hello, chaps. I can't remember whether you do highlights of the week / weekend on Tuesday's show, but I'm sending you mine. Anyway, sue me. My highlight was seeing Portsmouth superstar Christian Burgess turn up to the under-12s training session after their game was cancelled.
Mm.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he says Portsmouth superstar. I mean, he's a good defender. He's a 6'5" centre-back. I'm not sure you'd say superstar.
Stop having a go at professional / amateur footballers.
Did he listen? In which case, he beat Connor from the last
one. But it's a lovely image. Basically, just Burgess tweeted, does anyone need a player to which a young lad under 12 replied, yeah, Bransbury Park, 11 a.m. sharp. And lo and behold, he turns up.
I love that he just turned up rather
yeah.
than
yeah.
saying
didn't even
would.
Like sort
no,
of
no,
asked...
he did, no, he didn't. No, he did say he would. He tweeted right. back saying, all right, I'll be there at 5. And obviously,
yes.
the coach was a bit like, oh, yeah, nice one. And then he turned up. Oh, he's actually here.
Yeah.
And he stayed for over an hour, I think. You know, yeah. it wasn't like
community
just...
man.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you want to, and I don't want to denigrate a guy. He's a good defender. And he plays for Pompey. He's like ever present. He is a first team player. Mm-hmm. But the Portsmouth game with Crawley was called off, which yeah. people were fuming about because apparently a load of non-league grounds around that area, the games were still going ahead. So I don't know what
it's
Crawley
always the
doing.
Shining area, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not always the pitch.
I don't know
facilities.
What Crawley were doing. Yeah, yeah, true.
And they were installing a glass roof, I hear.
Yeah.
But if you want to paint yourself a mental picture of what Christian Burgess looks like, mm-hmm. he looks a bit like a slimmer Jason Momoa who played Khal Drogo in Game of Thrones.
Oh, wow.
So he's
okay,
got
right,
long
yeah.
hair and
he's quite a good looking bloke.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
that's his
yeah.
Khal Drogo.
It's great he did that. It's a good bit of positive PR for Portsmouth, which, let's be honest, we need.
I was going to say, yeah.
But it was a terrible weekend. I know you're going to come to League Two later, but just while we're on the subject, it was quite a poor weekend for Portsmouth because I think top 2-1, didn't they?
They did.
Our game was called off. So
yeah.
if we win our game in hand, we go third, which is the most realistic we can
You
hope
know
for.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. yeah,
that's a
hand.
Guaranteed loss,
that's
isn't
a Newcastle
every time.
After that roundup, the League Two section on the running order is now completely.
That's all he got. Oh, well, we'll have another email then. From you rinsing out a man doing a nice thing to some under 12s. That's a weird way of saying that. Tom says Southend United sacking their head groundsman of 27 years for not doing his job by not defrosting a frozen pitch.
Yeah, that
was weird. 27 years.
That's outrageous. But he should be doing his job properly.
I think they did have like heaters and stuff on the pitch.
Right.
Isn't there a point where it's just too cold?
I know. The thing is, I don't know the story. Jim, you take your point. I don't know the story. But
it is Southend. I mean, it's not.
If the guy is, regardless of how long he's been working there, if the guy's job is to sort the pitch out and he hasn't done that.
Yeah. I mean, after 27 years, though, you'd think you'd give him one.
Yeah, but
right?
come on.
Is it his first offence?
You had one in 1984.
Yeah.
It was over 27 years ago, fair enough.
There's only like 2 weeks where like pitches get frozen in the whole year.
It's just reminded me, when I asked the Crystal Palace fans about what's gone wrong at their club, a bit annoying, sorry about that. a lot of them mentioned the fact that I think Palace fired their long-term stadium announcer
right.
and replaced him with someone else who wasn't very popular. And then after quite a few protests, I think they reinstated the old guy. Mm. So I think maybe a few bits and pieces off the pitch at Palace not going to plan really as
Sounds
well.
Sounds like very chaotic, doesn't it?
Yeah, quite.
Translating.
Speaking of that, the Arsenal Burnley goes.
It was a sad time down at Leatherhead when old Jim had to retire from being the stadium announcer for Leatherhead. No, he's not old Jim.
Oh, okay. I was the reserve stadium announcer.
The young Jim, ready to step into his shoes.
Will be old Jim one day, Jim.
No, don't buy it.
Arsenal, they got 3 points, Jim.
What a chaotic game.
A comfortable 3 points at home for Arsenal.
An absolute cruise.
Yeah.
Till 65 minutes. Yeah.
Three big decisions. Referee got them all right, for my money.
Yeah, I do think Mustafi should have had a penalty earlier, though.
That's the only one you could argue that he got penalty, yeah.
Yeah, well, Wenger. He apologised after pushing the fourth official,
didn't
he?
Not often you see Wenger getting sent off, is it? I mean, that's really far down the list in all the mental things in that game.
It's a bit of a cheek of Wenger saying, well, I've spoke to Xhaka, I've told him to control his temper, and blah, 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 blah.
He's just not doing it, though, is he?
He's only been sent off one more time than you, mate.
He has had a sending off for Switzerland as well, so that is three
to
this
do
season.
With, nothing to do with that.
Is it 9 in 3 years, something like that?
It gets a 4-game ban now.
He's on for the Ramos kind of.
It gives you a perspective of what it's like to be an Arsenal fan, because you obviously the game's on TV, so you watch it and you see Arsenal. And to me, those Sunday games didn't look to be the most inspiring games. And you thought, Southampton cruised to a win over Leicester earlier in the day. Then Arsenal Burnley came up next, and we knew Chelsea were going to beat Hull. So Arsenal Burnley, then Arsenal go 1-0 up and they're cruising 65 minutes in. And Xhaka, the problem with Xhaka is his tackling technique is poor for a defensive midfield. I know he's only like 24 or whatever. As Danny Murphy, though, I think it was Danny Murphy, said on Match of the Day, that's not really that young anymore. But he has still probably got improvement in maturity in his game. His tackling technique is poor, and his mindset is not stable when it comes to, you know, when you're a midfield player, you have those running battles, and he had one with Defoe, and it's no coincidence that he put that tackle on Defoe because they were up against him
all game.
It wasn't
even the first one, was it?
No, exactly. And I just think, why are you giving? You've got to try, at some point, you've got to think, we're cruising this game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
One of the hallmarks of his problems is that he makes those tackles in really innocuous areas. Did it against Bournemouth to give a penalty away. Remember, the guy's going away from goal. Did it against Joe Allen against Stoke?
The Bournemouth one was weird. It was almost like he just ran into him, right? It wasn't even really a tackle, was it? It was just he does get a rush of blood to the head sometimes. So he's tackling, Germany is tackling, you know, he does have these absolute ricks, but it's not always like that. Match of the Day made it out like every time he like goes near the ball, he like lunges at it with 2 feet. It's not like that at all. And his range of passing is absolutely superb, but
yeah, you don't get sent off for that though.
But he's put us in a real difficult situation because he's banned for 4 games. El Neni's away as well, the Cup of Nations, that means Coquelin's basically our only available sort of naturally defensive midfielder in a sense. So that creates a bit of a selection headache there, in that who's going to go in there with him in games, particularly the Chelsea game.
Grow up, Xhaka, more like.
I just thought with the Defoe thing, it was like, Stephen Defoe's an experienced player, right? He's played. He's a well-rated player. He's international as well, and everything. And I just thought he was a bit canny for Xhaka. I would have been annoyed as an Arsenal fan at just him falling for that. He didn't need to.
Yeah, it's true. You get annoyed as an Arsenal fan a lot, Luke. You kind of get used to it. You don't even notice it anymore. Why am I furious? Oh yeah, this constantly in the background of my life.
A little mention for Sanchez's dink penalty.
Oh, it was beautiful, wasn't it? You know what? Like
ballsy.
Yeah, it really was. But
given his record as well.
I love that confidence. Danny Murphy made a really interesting point on Match of the Day, didn't he? Saying where he was told once, like, always hit it down the middle late because goalkeepers want to be the hero, so they try and make a quite big save, which is a really nice little bit of insight. Yeah, but one thing is, like, you know, as frustrating as it can be when Arsenal do these things, like, they're getting late winners and late equalisers and stuff, and I'd much rather sort of be stressed out and have points.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't. You know, are they second in the league, something like that?
Yeah,
they are. But Conte must have been counting his chips. I've gone, what a great weekend.
He hasn't got chips.
Cashing his chips, counting his chickens.
I was just going to ask you a quick question on the thing. I know what you mean about it. You obviously want points on the board, and of course you want rather win games. But that aside, is it not a little bit like papering over the cracks that they got out of there with a win?
Well, I think if you look at the sort of game it was,
won that game, and people, maybe questions would have been asked a little bit more firmly, is what I mean.
But I think looking at it sort of in the cold, sober light of day, it was a game that there weren't really any clear-cut chances in. So if Arsenal were going to get something out of it, realistically, given the way Burnley play, because they defend very deep, they're a very, very coherent unit, it had to be from a set piece, really. And they did that. Got, you know, the penalties, both penalty situations, like Coquelin's a bit naive with giving that penalty away. It was very, very clumsy. And I think the Koscielny one was a penalty as well. But like,
you had to give that away, though, because Xhaka was on the pitch.
Well, quite. Someone's got to do it. Yeah. Quite literally step in that case. But I think, you know, if you look at Mustafi, obviously, he got the goal, and Koscielny won the penalty. And Mustafi probably should have had a penalty earlier as well, as we say. And like those players, they really stepped up there. And that was a tough, tough game. You know what you're going to get with Burnley? They are tough to break down, and Arsenal did break them down. So I don't know if it's papering over cracks.
It's dinking over cracks.
It's dinking, maybe dinking.
I mean,
over
Alexis
cracks.
Sanchez did do that in the Copa America final against Argentina.
Yeah.
He's done it before. But it was 3 points from Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's the point you're making.
I think there is a tendency to sort of make out Arsenal are more of a disaster than they are sometimes.
Because say, though, isn't it?
Like, yeah, well, quite. if other teams do that, they're praised for winning when they're not necessarily playing so well. But yeah. I think Arsenal didn't play terribly. Ridiculous moment from Xhaka, but it's a tough 3 points to get, and they got them.
Yeah, Manchester United didn't get 3 points.
No,
but they got a precious point though. And Wayne Rooney is now the greatest goal scorer of all time ever.
We always knew he would be.
Absolutely.
Nice way to finish it,
from
though,
his debut,
it?
Where, funnily enough, he mugged off Arsenal.
nice way for him to finish it.
Yeah,
his career?
His career. Manchester United. Now George can happily get rid of him.
Is that a scoop? He just retired now.
That's one of your leaks already.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think part of me would absolutely love it if Rooney this week went to China.
You know,
done it. Up yours, everybody.
Not a lot's been made of this, but I might be barking up the wrong tree, but the reason he won't, I think, is because he hasn't got the league goals record yet. Bobby Charlton's still got a goal scoring record.
He does.
And it's league,
right.
It's
right.
League goals.
You're right.
I think he wants to beat that as well. I mean,
how many goals is that?
He's going to struggle.
How many goals in the Premier League did Sir Bobby Charlton get?
None.
Zero.
There you go.
See?
Overrated.
Yeah.
Same as me, mate.
Yeah. The thing I liked about it was it's similar to what Jim just said about Arsenal, actually. Because Rooney's not having a great season, because he's not the player he was, a lot's made of the fact that he's maybe being detrimental to United's team effort and all that other stuff, because he's a big personality and he's on this big deal and all that other stuff, which is part of the reason why he probably won't move unless they can buy him out of this. I don't think Wayne Rooney signed a deal of that size without having some sort of commercial image rights bound up with it. So
yeah.
It's probably a bit more complicated than we all think. But
so he might not be as attractive to another team. It might be signed up for another couple of years on the image side of things.
Yeah, much costs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But Rooney is unquestionably one of the all-time Premier League greats.
Mm.
And if you look at what he's achieved...
English greats.
Premier League of all nationalities.
Yeah.
But if you look
in all of English football. Sorry, mate.
Fine. fine. But the thing about Rooney is, at his peak, no one should forget this, he was the perfect combination of like English strength, mm-hmm. and grit, mm-hmm. and work, and this also continental type flair, mm-hmm. where he could beat a player. He was skillful. He had everything in his locker. And if you look at the goals that he scored, loads more goals with his right foot than he did with his left foot. But some of the goals he scored with his left were fantastic, mm-hmm. like behind the back flicks and near post runs with left foot flicks. You can't do that without being a really good two-footed player.
Yeah.
And he was an iron fist in the velvet glove for 10 or so seasons.
Yeah.
And absolutely an all-time great. And to put it in perspective, and this is not denigrating to Arsenal, I know people are going to get on the back of because of some of the stuff I said about Arsenal in the past, but Thierry Henry's got a statue outside the Emirates, and he's achieved less than Wayne Rooney has at Man United. Mm-hmm. Wayne Rooney's scored more goals for Man United than Henry has for Arsenal, and he's won more trophies. That shows you exactly how important he's been.
Is that not the culture of the media to denigrate an English player over a foreign one, and also his angling for a move a couple of times,
which is kind of burnt.
He's not the most popular Man United legend, is he, if that makes sense? Do you know what I mean? He's not loved there in a way that
drank the Kool-Aid and bought into the whole kind of like the club as much as I think Manchester United fans demanded at the time, and I think that was the problem, really. He was
Rooney came along at a time when actually the individual suddenly became the brand, Ronaldo, Messi, and Rooney was sort of put up as the English Ronaldo and Messi, and I think a lot of people wanted him to be up there with Ronaldo and Messi. And
he was always on the wane by the time that Messi
on the wane,
yeah, on the wane.
Right. I mean, he's always
there was a season to crossover where those three were seen as the best.
But when it came to the international stage, you know, Rooney didn't do it perhaps as much as us English would have liked him to have done. But you know, that's just the period in football history he came along in, and it's a bit of a shame for the likes of Rooney and one or two others to come along at a time when Ronaldo and Messi are there, because they are.
I mean, the
most ridiculous sort of stats of all time.
Regardless, it's almost like Andy Murray, the tennis thing. He's playing the finest.
Yeah, don't forget Dan Evans, mate.
Yeah, well, I've not.
Yeah.
I was coming on to him in a minute. I don't need to. I'm not suggesting, by the way, they may not have put a statue outside of Old Trafford Wayne Rooney, because there's been issues there, and I realise that he's not as popular as someone like Thierry Henry.
Just draw a face on a bag of potatoes.
Yeah,
the job's a good one.
But I'm just putting put into perspective the achievements he's had.
No,
that
completely. Year. No, you're absolutely right. And it was a great goal to do it. And I did. Manchester United, they should have won the game. They had chances and whatnot. Mm. So, yes, it was a point saved in one sense, but probably two dropped in another sense. But I did promise you a little bit more ball boy chat. And so we're going to have to deliver that before we go to the Championship, because Mourinho apparently changed the ball boys at Old Trafford for the Liverpool game. This is how much you can go into your tactics if you are having a switch up of the ball boys get yourself an advantage. The usual ball boys weren't used for that game. They were replaced by players from the academy teams. And incredible. But it's the quote, really, that I wanted to bring your attention. Mourinho: the referee cannot punish the ball boy that disappears. Sort of, okay.
that's a bit worrying.
Yeah. Mm. He then goes on to say, you may as well put a cow in the middle of the pitch and then stop the game because there was a cow. You cannot do just anything in football. Football needs a ball.
I think he's not far away from putting a cow on the field to distract from his managerial responsibilities, because that's what he's done here, hasn't he?
It's very
Everyone's
true.
Everyone's talking about the ball boys. Nobody's talking about the fact that they drew that's right, needlessly. That's
right. Little horses, cows.
Little horse one was really good. It's very good, the little horse one.
I did like that.
I think sometimes Mourinho just gets a bit carried away. Just a bit like me sometimes on this show. I just start making a point and I just carry on talking.
Mm. Yeah. Quickly to the Championship. Aston Villa drew 2-2 with Preston. You know as well as I do, ladies and gentlemen, that's why we're not talking about Villa. Yeah. We're using that as a little segue to Steve Bruce and Ross McCormack.
Yes. And Steve Bruce and the Kebab House.
I wasn't going to mention that. It's fine, is it?
It's just funny, isn't it?
After he's lost a bit of weight. He's fine.
He deserves it.
After he put the Ross McCormack issue to bed, he said, I'll treat myself on the way home. Well done.
Ross McCormack didn't play as he missed training, reportedly. This was due to the electric gates breaking just outside his property.
Oh, hashtag first world problems.
Yeah, I mean, what I would say is that if you've got a manager that's clearly a bit knocked off about your performance, your commitment to the cause, let's say, the first thing he's going to do is go to drive around your house and pull the gate open with his bare, brucey hands.
Imagine
this is how you do it.
Just imagine seeing that out of your living room, Steve Bruce just scaling your fence,
getting kebab grease up the wall.
One of the funny things about this was Ian Wright was talking about this on the radio, and obviously Ian Wright being the type of character he is and the player he was absolutely fuming.
I bet he was.
He was saying, I would have driven through the gate. And what I'd have done is I'd have just paid for the repairs. Ross McCormack is a player, by the way, he's a Championship football player, really. Mm-hmm. He literally is at the moment, but as in terms of level, his last two transfer fees are a combined £23 million.
To be fair, McCormack probably could have a good crack at Premier League because he's a decent player.
Well, if he tries.
If he can get out of his house.
And there lies the problem. I mean, there was rumours that he was missing the odd training session at Fulham, trying to push a move through. I think it was to Middlesbrough at the time. He's now got a move to Aston Villa, who are a bigger club than Fulham. And yet, his 4-foot-6-inch high gate deems to be too high to scale and can't call a taxi.
Why's he got a fence that's only 4-foot-6? That seems a bit mad.
Marcus, you're on it. Even Marcus is on Uber now.
I thought you were going to say, even Marcus could get over that fence.
That's not tall enough, surely.
As tall as you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I love the fact. I love the fact that Brucey went round there.
Yeah.
I love it. It's probably a sort of Sir Alex Ferguson
Imagine
stuff,
the
that.
Ding dong. Who's that at this time?
Yeah. Oh, what are you doing here? How did you get past the gates? Yeah. It's all right, I'm on my moped.
I've got Kevin Keegan or Peter Beegery. It reminds me of the scene in Bridesmaids where Kristen Wiig leaves the first scene or whatever. She leaves the guy's house and she can't get out. So she climbs over the electric gate, and as soon as she gets on top of it, it starts opening like back and forth. Bruce. That would be Bruce, wouldn't it? It would be Bruce. He'd just jump over.
That's right. Newcastle back on top, Peter. Good scenes there.
Yeah. Took them a while. The first half, they were a bit flat. Second half, they turned on the quality.
It was smashy, didn't they?
There was a lot of sendings off between Brighton and Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah, there was also the Wolves goalkeeper was sent off against Norwich as well.
We love that.
And they had no... they'd lose all their subs.
A lot of red cards this weekend.
What a kit blend as well in that game. Madness.
You couldn't see what was going on.
I know.
Yeah.
And then before we move on from the Championship, there was a 1-1 draw in the West London Derby, 1-1. Fulham missed another penalty, as is tradition. I think it was about 6 out of 7 they missed.
It Smithies, was very fighty.
Smithies in goal for QPR has saved 3 Fulham penalties alone this season.
Wow, that is some stat.
Absolutely.
Have you seen
ridiculous.
Dave Jones is now the Hartlepool manager?
Is he?
From Sheffield Wednesday, that. Weird.
Mm.
Good though. Well done. Keep it up.
He was at Sheffield Wednesday. What's his name's there? Carver House.
No, he was.
Oh, back in the day. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Scottish Cup and Africa Cup of Nations after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Do not forget the preview show sponsored by Bet365 out this Friday. We were wrong. It wasn't Harry Kane as first scorer in a Spurs
win. We were wrong. Liam Robertson, listeners.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
He was indeed.
And to be fair to Liam Robertson, he's kindly donated £50 to Prostate Cancer UK off his own back anyway.
Very good on him.
So he's learnt a lesson there. One, it's fine to give to charity, but also, it's not as easy as it looks.
Luke's literally, hasn't literally, had his cake and eaten it there.
Well, I have.
Beautiful. somebody get some money.
Before you got here.
All right, literal cake.
Now, a couple of cup competitions going on. The Scottish Cup was one of them. Bonnie Rigrose won. Hibs. Yeah. 8.
Yeah. Right. That's disappointing for the rosy
posy. Dream is over.
Not just over.
Yeah. Shattered, yeah.
The very idea of having a dream.
Yeah.
Perchance to sleep.
We're awake for years now.
In a million pieces.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair to the rosy posy, which is a great name.
Yeah.
They had 5,000 there.
That's
not
yeah.
bad. But their manager is a guy called Robbie Horn. This is an amazing quote. His post-match interview quote. We showed in spells what we're capable of at 3-0 down. Really, you lost 8-1, so if anything, it got worse after that. Yeah. I can understand that if you lost 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8-1.
That is worse than taking no positive points.
The
trouble was, concede 5 and score 1. That's what we're capable of. Well, good. I don't want to watch that. Then.
There was a strange quote from a particular Bonnie Rigrose fan. They said to him before the game, how are you going to line up? You know, what are you going to keep it tight at the back? And he just said, let my defenders be the rocks and the trees and the boughs in the skies.
Didn't help though, did it?
Yeah. Didn't Jim? 8-1.
But that's mad.
Hibs will play Raith Rovers or Hearts in the next round, eh?
Ooh, tasty.
Eh? You mess with the ball, we get a horn. Alright?
Do your jambos fancy it?
Of course I do. But what we all fancy is a bit of Sir Rod Stewart doing the flipping balls at the Scottish Cup.
That was so
at the draw.
Lovely. made me want to watch Scottish football. If he could just do everything. Referee.
Rod the Mod. I mean, if you haven't seen it, get.
And what usually when something like this happens, newspapers go, he was a bit jolly, wasn't he? And they're very kind of euphemistic. He was pissed. He was pissed. Yeah. He was pissed. Yeah. He was having a lovely time. It was brilliant.
At one point, it looked like he grabbed SFA president Alan McRae's arse.
Yeah, he did. At the end, it was very funny.
That thing he was doing with his arm, as he sort of arced over to reach the balls every time. Like, just it's a huge, ridiculous, sweeping
love
motion.
It.
For those who haven't seen it, what it reminded me of is sometimes when your family organise a party, or someone in your family organises a party at like an old working men's club or a community centre or something. And then one of your elderly relatives gets really drunk.
Yeah, gets him on stage and bottles the compare.
It was exactly like that in every way. Look actions. Yep.
Yeah. And presumably smell.
And they think they're the entertainment, and they're doing a
really
good job.
They are the entertainment.
Job.
Look at the other two of them.
No, but they think... no, agreed.
Right.
Oh, this is the ride we're talking about. Alan McRae is not exactly going to, you know, fill the room full of laughter, is he? Like that. That's why you get Rod DeMod in.
I had a quick drink with, on Sunday, a friend of the show, Slim, and Fife went through as well. I think it's like 9 or 10 games in a row they have won.
Quickly to the African Cup of Nations. Gabon, the hosts are out.
They are.
It's a shame. Aubameyang with a great chance.
They drew all their games, though. They near to beat Cameroon, didn't they?
Aubameyang missed an absolute sitter early on, and then they had a great chance right at the end. It was a shame.
Yeah, the highlight for me... Oh, sorry, you're going to carry on about the game?
No, go on.
I was just saying, the highlight for me over the last few days is in the Burkina Faso Guinea-Bissau game.
Yeah, that's
did you see that goal line clearance?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, unbelievable. Amazing.
I think it was still given. I think it went down as an own goal anyway.
It did.
But have you ever seen this? Thomas Darbo, who's currently without a club, not sure why, but he's that sort of athlete.
Yeah.
The centre-back, I forget who it was, headed the ball over...
It was an own goal, wasn't it?
Miscommunication to keeper, and it was going to go in. From out of shot, not even the same postcode as the game. Thomas Darbo, just from the right back position, canes it 100 mile an hour, slides in last minute, last final thing, kicks it, dinks it out off the post.
Right.
To be fair, the guy comes along, smashes it after that. So it's a goal anyway. But I think it was in vain. That's what makes it even more glorious.
That's annoying.
It was in vain, but it was the most stunning piece of athleticism I've seen in many a week.
And of course, the other goal in that game, a lovely finish from Bertrand Traore, the Chelsea loanee. He's at Ajax currently at the moment, so good stuff there. It got mentioned, Asamoah Gyan becoming Ghana's top scorer of all time.
Yeah, with a lovely header.
Yeah, lovely cool header. And a traditional sort of what we've come to expect from the Ghanaian football team. A celebration, where they sort of went back and forward.
Yeah, it's nice to see.
I'd love to know if they were 3-0 down and got one back, would they celebrate like that?
It's like when Michel Antonio said he would do the old Hacker if he scored, and then he ended up
scoring. We were waiting for ages, weren't we?
He ended up scoring against West Brom, 4-0 down at the time, so he just ran back to the penalty area. The centre spot.
And then, of course, this week Morocco face Ivory Coast. Harvey Renard against his former team.
Yeah, Morocco. They play tomorrow night. Morocco only need a draw as well.
Yeah,
going to add that Senegal, the standout team in this tournament so far.
Mane's just bossing it, isn't he? He scored again.
Algeria, I think they play Algeria tonight, and Algeria have been disappointing. Tasty. They've been disappointing, though. That's the thing. And Senegal should go through.
Burkina Faso, I think they're quite decent side to watch at the moment.
I think Senegal already are through, actually, thinking about it. Yeah, who did you say, sorry?
Burkina Faso, I think, can not too bad.
At the risk of absolutely jinxing him, I think it's Senegal's to lose. I really do. They've looked the best team for me.
Yeah, there we are. Right, let's have some highlights of the week, Luke.
Yeah, quick highlight. I'll run through these because I know we're a bit short of time. But Van Basten, have you seen that Marco Van Basten
thing?
Oh,
he's mental.
I have,
he wants to get rid of offsides.
He's some sort of technical advisor to FIFA or something, and he's reporting back on his ideas to improve the game, and he's come back with the following ideas. Getting rid of the offside rule. I don't even want to unpack that. There's no time. Replacing penalty shootouts with an 8-second run-up. I like that.
That's the hockey style.
MLS used to do that, didn't they, back in the day?
Introducing orange cards to send players to Simbin for 10 minutes. This is a great one. This is one of his ideas, right? Just get your mind around how half-baked this is. Players should be involved in fewer matches per season.
Where's the cause and effect here?
He's off for eight. He's run out. He got the 7.
It's like a listicle, isn't it? You won't believe what these celebs look like now. Yeah.
Like Jim's on the train on the way in going, I need another one.
Yeah. It's like one of your opening question answers, Pete.
How dare you?
This is quite an interesting one. Stopping the clock every time the ball goes out in the last 10 minutes. That'll solve a lot of problems. I'll leave that with you anyway.
I'm not averse to that one.
I would love to see a game with all these rules implemented see what it was like.
Players wouldn't know what they're doing, could they? The only player who know what they're doing would be Christian Burgess, who's got a degree in history.
Yeah.
He's quite switched on. Everyone else not what's going on.
Some people wouldn't be able to play because they'd filled their quota of games that season.
Yeah, I know.
That's insane.
Highlights of the week. Mine was probably Chris Brunt's left foot volley.
Oh, yes.
Or Carroll. Carroll was...
Big Andy Carroll with a header.
Going back to basics. What have we got here? Joe Flaherty. Hello to you, Joe. He says, the guy on the preview show giving it the big one about how his predictions were better than the Rambles, so much so that they used it as a bet of the week. Needless to say, Kane didn't open the scoring and Spurs didn't win. Hashtag Ramble curse.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter if we do it.
Yeah, Joe, if you've got something to say, mate, I mean, give us a tip for Thursday. Give us a bet of the week on Thursday. Right?
Stop this dereliction of duty, you.
Wow.
Outrageous.
Well, you could have a say as well if you want.
I don't want to. You've heard what comes out of my mouth.
Newcastle to win every week. Oh, I can't do that again. Bob Dunn, he says, the man, the myth, the legend, Sammy Amiobi was back to spearhead the Raffolution.
Back on there. The lovely. The looking for a move.
Why have you not said the Raffolution on this show?
Yeah.
Because I don't want
to. Stop having a go at Pete.
Yeah. He says, "Cue many Spelzy. Cheers every time Ami Obi touched the ball. There was a great chorus of his Sammy scores were on the pitch, but fortunately he didn't."
No. Oh, that's a shame.
He'll do that.
They did that once against Darlington, and I think someone got hit.
Did they? Yeah. A couple more. Hannah Sibley said, "Driving 550 miles, 210 of them on a bloody school night to watch Ipswich Town disgrace themselves twice. Even the ramble mentioned on Friday for my hapless bunch couldn't cheer me up, and instead, with Marcus's judgment of my diabolical performance at the Sinsel Bank ringing in my ears, plunged me further into my football-related gloom. It's one thing to have your embarrassment televised. It's quite another to drive up there, knowing your team's going to play like complete and utter shit, and pay to watch your side's miserable humiliation, then to do it all over again on the Saturday by driving up to Huddersfield. Apparently, we have four shots on target across the course of both games, and I averaged 130 miles per shot." The joys of bloody football. So sorry to hear that, Hannah. She said, "On the bright side, though, I discovered that I work with someone who's named after Kevin Keegan."
Oh, wow. Right.
But they don't like football. Oh. Presumably the person she's met, not Kevin Keegan.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder why. So it could be worse. True. James Tortoise, he says, this is the final one. "As part of my New Year's resolution to encourage / force my indifferent 4-year-old son into enjoying football, I decided to start buying him team badges. Rather than giving him a load direct from me with no background, I place a single badge in a little pot at night. Each morning as he goes down for breakfast, his little face is a treat when he sees that the badge fairy has visited him."
Oh.
23 days in, and a fresh eBay batch arrived this morning, meaning I'm sorted for the next month or so. His current favourites are Napoli and Dynamo Kiev, but I expect Sampdoria to overtake these."
Yeah,
I thought that was nice.
Are they kind of like nice badges spread from a shirt or something?
It's
kind of like a
little pin badges.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
It did include an accompanying photo, but that won't benefit the listeners. So.
Get them on a cup in the 80s.
I thought that's a really nice bit of dad skill, that, from James.
Yeah, that's nice.
Good for you.
Well done, James.
I saw a fun little highlight of the week came in on Twitter, if I may indulge in that. This one probably aimed at you, Luke.
Oh, go on.
It's from Matt Turner. "My highlight of the week as a Southampton fan..." "My highlight of the week was being a Southampton fan, watching Pompey fans get on a train, not realising their game was called off when I didn't bother saying."
Oh, that's awful. You're from the next town, you rotters. Listen,
Jim, I won't come in on that. All I'll say is, that says a lot more about him than it does Pompey fans.
No, it says that they don't have the internet on their phones.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Luddites.
Yeah, true.
Well, Luddites.
Pete will regularly have a pop at people about their internet usage. Yeah. Just the kind of guy he is. Like the time when he was genuine incredulous for quite a long time that I had never built my own PC.
Yeah.
You done it? Just do it. It's really easy.
it's bubbling under now. You can see
it.
Arctic
silver.
Right, let's get out of here before Pete explodes.
Why haven't you got any thermal paste?
Why
have you never
everywhere?
Felt the unique silver thermal paste on your fingers?
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Thank you very much.
It's the thing that helps it dissipate heat from
the
processor.
Everybody.
As it gets hot,
that,
right?
The preview,
and the
show,
thermal paste kind of spreads out, and you put
Friday.
The heat sink on top of it.
Jim.
The heat sink's usually like a block
Goodbye.
Of aluminium.
Off, Peter.
And I think,
Goodbye, everybody.
And it just helps it dissipate heat.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this yeah. shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.